Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to Tech Talk UK, or as I want to call it this week, Town Talk UK. Ipswich Town.
No, boo, hiss.
Ipswich Town. Ipswich Town. I can't believe I'm in a forum with 17 members, obviously I'm one of them, and James is obviously a good, fine, upstanding man who likes football. The rest of you are just a load of losers,
yeah,
basically.
Even though he went on holiday in your hour of need 2 weeks ago.
Well, there you go. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
What can I say? Welcome back, anyway, mate.
Thank you very much. Yes,
you've
been a shock to the system. It's
around the world in 18 days, was it?
Something like that. Yeah. Mm. Well, how can I best put it? Last Sunday, I was in Perth, Western Australia, where the temperature was 37 degrees.
Yeah, it's a little bit less in Birmingham.
I'm guessing. On the ground this morning. It's melted. We have a sprinkling, but it's melted now. But it does have to be said, I don't remember being quite this cold. And I thought I was doing all right with the jet lag until last night, about 7:30. I said to Fiona, I'm sorry, I've got to go to bed. And I slept till 6:50 this morning. So
nice.
I'm hoping that it's the longest I've slept in about 5 years. I'm hoping that I'm more or less back on UK time now. You know what'll happen. I should be all right tomorrow because I'll be back at work.
I bet you're looking forward to that.
Well, happily these days I have a good assistant. If she's done what I think she's done, I will be relatively relaxed about it.
Fabulous.
I do have a bit of a problem on my hands, which not entirely tech talk, but one that's perhaps worth mentioning, and that is one of my clients managed to get attacked by the ransomware scammers 10 days ago. And as luck would have it, they had identity information of mine, which has been disclosed to the scammers, including my current passport and indeed driving licence. And, I need to do some more work on this, but it's really quite interesting. What can I do about the passport? Well, I could cancel it and I could get a new one issued, and the client's attitude is, well, we'll pay for all of that. But I'm not entirely convinced there's any point, because I can't find any way of checking whether a passport is a current valid passport other than the expiry date. So let's say I get a new passport and the scammers present my old one that expires in 2030-something. There's not going to be any flag, as far as I can see, that says, hang on a minute, this passport's been cancelled, it's been involved in a dodgy dealings. So, unfortunately, in my rather jet-lagged, gammy brain, I've been trying to think what I can do to protect myself against this. And, I mean, obviously, there's things like registering yourself on the credit industry warning scheme, which I've done. There are other things that you can do, like monitoring your credit record more regularly than once a month, which I will do, but I decided I wasn't in a fit state to decide between the three schemes on offer. It's all a bit sort of depressing, really, because it's sort of, the client had a legitimate reason to have a copy of my passport, but now, through no fault of mine, and not very much of theirs, I don't suppose, it's out there in the dark web, which is not a great feeling, if I'm absolutely honest. So there you go. That's my rather depressing tech thing of the week. So if you haven't got ransomware protection, might be worth thinking about it. Talking to the client, they've been talking to some specialist lawyers and negotiators and whatever. And I mean, the whole thing's quite alarming. Basically, they got a phone call from some intermediary with a Chicago phone number, basically demanding menaces, and I think they got until tonight to pay up or have the whole lot shipped off to the dark web. So all a bit depressing, really. But the people who are advising them on minimising the damage are sort of saying, well, this isn't even affecting only big businesses anymore. We're getting to see it in small businesses, which of course sets alarm bells ringing for me. Just sitting there thinking, how do I protect myself against this? It's not the most massively easy thing to think through, to be honest.
No. I don't know, really. What can they do with your passport?
Well, the most obvious thing is apply for credit. That's
right.
The most obvious damaging thing. That obviously could be an issue. I don't know what other issues might arise, but I suppose it's the old thing, isn't it? If you build up evidence of identity, I mean, let's say they were to contact my bank if they knew what it was, and they said, I'll send you a copy of my passport to prove it's me. Well, they send through a copy of my real passport.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm going to do is things like change the 2FA phone number, change the email address I use for banks, and other serious things like insurance companies and whatever, which will take me quite a lot of time and be a pain in the neck.
How would they know who you bank with, thinking it's
well? Well, they wouldn't, but there are only so many banks.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
Not that they get an awful lot of money out of it, but you know, I don't tend to keep very much money in the bank. But you know, it, having been bitten by something like this once before, it makes you very twice shy.
Yeah, I mean, I was
just a source of worry, really. That's the thing.
You have to upload that sort of thing to Starling Bank, for example, and I've thought, well, what if they, you know, they've obviously got that on file. I guess you can't really just live your life worrying about it because there's so much stuff out there. We don't really know what happens to it, I guess, and there must be so much stuff that's overwhelming. And it makes me wonder if the stuff they're looking for is like from famous people or people in the public eye sort of thing.
Well, these people were saying that the smallest ransom claim they'd had so far was for 10 grand, which doesn't suggest somebody massively wealthy or massively famous,
does
it?
No, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, I think all you can really do is think, what have I done to protect myself? Is there any obvious gap in what I'm doing?
Can you take insurance out against this? Because
I do have insurance against it, but of course you've still got the massive you know, the massive problems that are caused by losing access to your data, your files, and all that sort of stuff. So
seems to me that that company needs to be paying for your insurance for the next 10 years at least.
Yeah, that company is certainly going to be paying some of my costs. And to be fair, that was their immediate reaction. They sort of said, "Well, tell us what you think you need to do, and we'll pay for it." So I can't really complain about that. But and the real issue is they don't actually know at the moment how these people got in.
Right.
But what they do know is that the software was seeded about a week before any nasty side effects were noticed, with the result it's on every backup that they've got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, of course, is, I suppose, what you would expect somebody nasty and cunning to do would be exactly that, wouldn't you? You'd expect them to make sure that they did have the ability to completely cripple the business.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think the one thing that I think the problem is that every day I back up my hard drive to an external drive. But of course, if the software doesn't sit there for a week, then you're still backing the problem up, aren't you?
Mm.
So then you start saying, well, I'll back it up to a different drive every day. And then that obviously is a fairly painful thing to have to remember, organise and actually do. So I'm giving it quite a lot of thought at the moment. And it would help if I wasn't jet-lagged, if I'm absolutely honest, because I do wonder whether I'm thinking as logically as perhaps I might do.
Happy days. Just a little update, I guess, on work. I've been incredibly busy. It's it should start to quieten down a bit now for me in tech support, leading up to the Christmas thing, because a lot of the devices people buy, they won't want them set up. Although I've got an idea. I've already told one, actually, to let people buy the setup. It's £30 for an iPad, and stick a little receipt for that in the package that they're given as a gift, and then the person's going to come back after Christmas, so it'll probably get quite busy after Christmas. But it's been an interesting one, because I'm pretty much on my own. I can't go into details, obviously, but the new chap that took over from the lady I worked with before certainly won't be back to work for a long time. Turns out that what he's got is pretty serious. And if he's listening to this, which is possible, then we all love you, mate. Get well soon. I'm getting so much help, though, like from Neve, who was the girl who was helping me, you know, was my partner before, and everyone's just been brilliant in terms of helping me out. And it's a great challenge, really. I mean, it's been a pretty phenomenal year in that department for us, because we're actually only third overall out of 34, but that's pretty decent. And we're about 80-odd% up on last year, so it's a challenge, though. You know, it's a lot of things. We actually, last week, with a Black Friday week, we actually equaled our record setups, 23 different setups in a week. Good times, but very bad times in other ways. And everyone's all obviously fairly upset about that. But the only reason I mention this is quite a few people contacted me when I said something on a show a while back, and that was before we actually got the news. And people were, a couple of people emailed, several people emailed actually, and got in touch via other things like Twitter and that. And they kind of thought that something was going wrong and I was hating the job and stuff like that. But no, that's not true at all. We obviously at that time we didn't know what was going on with the fella, and it's turned out not to be great. On to nicer things. You've got a new MacBook Air, I believe.
Unfortunately, yeah, I do.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, it's a totally self-inflicted injury. As you probably know, when you go on a plane...
I don't. I've never been on one.
Well, all right. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is actually beginning to be phased out because new scanning machinery is being installed around the world. But in most airports at the moment, when you get to security, you have to get out things like laptops, iPads, liquids, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And I travel with a CPAP breathing machine so that when I'm asleep, I don't choke myself to death, which seems a very good plan. When you're traveling, one of the issues you've got on a plane is you can't guarantee a power supply. So you can get around this by buying a battery, and indeed, at no small expense, I did when I went to America in the spring, buy an aircraft-approved battery, which basically will power it for 4 or 5 hours, which, you know, it's enough. I can get by easy enough on 4 or 5 hours sleep, no problem. The thing about this is, though, it's, I forget what the capacity is, some ridiculous capacity. I'm going to say something like 95 watts or something, but that's probably not quite right. I can't remember what it is. But, you know, compared with every battery pack you've ever seen, it's on a totally different scale. And so checked everything back in the case, having gone through the scanner, closed the lid on it, and in the process put a massive, great dent in the top lid of the MacBook Air. And so I opened it with a certain amount of trepidation, and the screen seemed to be fine, which was a relief. I mean, I better be a bit careful because, in fact, I'm talking to you using the MacBook Air, so you'll deduce from that it's not a goner. If you look at the top lid, it's a bit like somebody's tried to punch a hole in one corner of it. And what's happening is that it'll be absolutely fine for 2 or 3 hours, and then the screen will go black, and I can't do anything with it until it decides to come back again. So clearly, it's going to have to go off to Apple to be... I imagine they'll probably just replace the top because I think the screens are integrated into the lid.
Is it worth it? Because aren't they about 400 quid?
That's the question, isn't it? Yeah. This is my main work laptop. It's the one I take everywhere. And so what I've actually done is bought a new MacBook Air because I think, to be honest, firstly, I wouldn't want to be without this. I mean, if you take next week, I'm working off-site 3 days out of five. I need a laptop. And this one is... probably fine, but equally possibly not.
Yeah, because you could always get an adapter, an HDMI out to a monitor wherever you go, I guess.
Well, I could, but do you want to turn up somewhere and say, oh, by the way, can you let me
No, not really,
it's
no.
It's just, it doesn't look very, very professional apart from anything else.
No.
I wasn't actually planning on replacing this MacBook Air. It's a 2020 original M1, and it actually is absolutely perfect for what I need. But in fact, I've been out and bought the new MacBook Air simply on the basis of it's going to be supported a bit longer, and it also has a MagSafe charger. Well, whether I'll use that or not, I don't know. But I think, you know, if you're looking at it from the long term point of view, it probably makes more sense to get the new one. I mean, it is quite interesting. By the time obviously this is my work laptop, so I can get the VAT back. And I get tax allowances on it as well. Mm. And you end up in a situation where the after-tax cost is about £150 different between the two of them. Well, without sounding flippant about it, if you're going to sort of say, no, I can't afford the extra £150 on a business purchase, it doesn't bode very well, does it, really?
No.
So
from a consumer point of view, the one you've got damaged was has been on offer for the last 2 weeks at 799, which was
it's
gone back up now to 849, which I think, and it's still 999 by the way on the Apple website.
On Apple, so, yeah. I mean, you also got to factor into this that I was in Australia when this happened.
Yeah.
And so in the end, I hit on a reasonably cunning plan, and you'll be pleased to know I did order the MacBook Air 2 from JL.
Jolly good.
And I got it delivered to my mum.
So I
was able to take advantage of it. Was it £70 off on Black Friday, something like that?
I think it was. 1,019, you know, something like that, rings a bell.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That sort of order. Mm. So I've now got this this new MacBook Air, which I collected last night and haven't actually set up yet. But I'm quite looking forward to playing it. One thing that immediately comes to mind, and this is the disadvantage of not going in a shop and seeing it, is I think it's appreciably thicker than the MacBook Air 1, isn't it?
Only at the front. Only at the front.
Is that where it's fooling me?
Yeah, the wedge shape will fool you, but it's lighter and thinner.
It's got as far as coming out of the box and being plugged in a charger, so I'm not.
Yeah, once you you may as well set that up with Migration Assistant,
yeah.
And you pretty much have a clone of your old one. So
exactly.
That would be perfect. And then if it was me, I'd probably because I think I've seen a video saying that top screen is not the hardest thing in the world to do.
I've just had one
come back from repair with Apple, obviously, or Apple's. Apple don't have a repair they have a repair agent in the UK. They don't have their own facility.
Yeah.
And it wasn't wiped. The customer was delighted because everything was still on there. And they replaced just the top lid, you know. So I reckon you can probably get a good quality, cheaper. A couple of hundred quid, I reckon, probably. And if you can't do it, send it to Mike, maybe.
I'd like to think I'm probably up to change.
I think you could do it. Yeah, I think you could do that. Should be able to follow the old YouTube videos or whatever.
An excuse to go visit Mike would always be a good one. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's not to be a sleeve that either, is it?
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought, well, I can't have a laptop that isn't reliable. And in a way, I suppose it gives me a certain amount of built-in protection in the event that, you know, if there is some problem, then there's something I can do about it then.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think if I've made any purchases. I have actually made one purchase, which is a set of Sony WH-1000 XM4s. My threes have finally come to the end of their life. They, I think the threes must be 8 or 9 years old. I certainly got them on launch. The battery got to the point where I had to charge it every other day, and typically I charge these once a week. And I replaced the battery with a battery off Amazon, which is only about 20 quid. I replaced the battery, and then somehow there's a little sensor that sits on top of the battery, which is meant to detect if it overheats, and then it obviously cuts all power to it if it does, and that's somehow detached from the board, and once that detached from the board, it doesn't work anymore because that's the whole point of it. It cuts everything. I managed somehow, God knows how, to get that soldered back on, which is remarkable because it was microscopic and my eyesight's not brilliant, shall we say. But the new battery is not up to much. It's obviously some cheap replacement. It was cheap. It's like 13 quid. That's not up to much. So I took the plunge. I'm getting them for Christmas anyway, apparently. So that's not too bad. But yeah, nothing exciting. I just read actually before we came on online that the Pixel 8 that I bought a couple of months ago is now on sale for $499. I haven't had a chance to search as to whether that is true or whether that maybe I was reading an old an old
Black
message.
Black Friday deal or something.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
A lot of places have got Black Friday deals going to sort of about the middle of this week, haven't they? I noticed one.
Oh, it is. It's on Amazon right now. Minus 29%. Good Lord. Good Lord. I'll probably hold off selling mine then at the moment. I was getting to that point.
Nice bit of advertising there, Kev.
Well done. Anyone want to buy it for 500 quid? Yeah, right. No, I mean, I probably won't sell it. The odd thing is that I've ended up really only using it, which is ridiculous when you think about it. I'm only really using it as a hotspot at work. Which is crazy, because if you remember on the last show, we spoke about it a couple of times now, I think, that I can no longer get iOS updates, which take three hours sometimes on my work Wi-Fi. I used to just literally hook it up to the hotspot, go out the front of the store, and they would download in 2 minutes. I can't do it on an iPhone anymore. I just can't get to the bottom of it at all. But it just won't do it. It just says waiting for Wi-Fi. It doesn't see the iPhone as a true Wi-Fi. But connect it up to probably any Android phone, but certainly the Pixel 8, and all of a sudden, bang, it comes down. I had one the other day for an iPad the other day, and it said back in my back office where I work, it said, you know, iOS 17.1.1, as it was at the time. It said four hours, then it went down. To be fair, it went down to 1 hour. But you've got people literally going in the cafe and expecting it to be done. You know, we quote 2 hours, but, you know, people don't hear that. They want it as quickly as possible. I connected it to the Pixel, went downstairs, and it took exactly 58 seconds to download, because I'm just ridiculously close to a 3... whatever they call it, their top of the range mast, and it gets close to one gig a second. You know, it's
impressive when it works like
that. It's ridiculous. It's always up at 700-800, and it's just crazy to see it download. I got a so what I did to mitigate things a little bit on iPad, especially on iPad, is I downloaded some of the IPSWs. Now, the thing about IPSWs, first of all, off the record, or on the record, I don't really care, I'm not supposed to use a hotspot, and we're not supposed to download IPSWs, but loads of the tech support guys do it, because frankly, we just wouldn't get our job done if we didn't, you know, until they improve the Wi-Fi. Until they improve the Wi-Fi. And that's why some of these other branches have said we're not doing it anymore. It's too embarrassing. You know, it's taking all day to do an iPad. So I downloaded some of them. But the interesting thing about those IPSWs, you can't go to Apple and get those, right? You literally can't. But when you go to sites like iClarified, which is the one I use, when you click the link, the actual download link is on an Apple CDN. They are coming directly from Apple. That's the whole point. They are literally coming directly from Apple. And that's all, you know, I think that's pretty well known out in the thing. And the incredible thing with that is that it takes it from, even if I'm doing it out the front of the building, once it goes to, you've obviously done several iOS updates. They go to preparing, don't they? So they download and then they say, and preparing is a good half an hour sometimes. You know, it can be a good half an hour just in preparing mode. Well, once I've got those on my little Surface laptop that I use at work, it's about a 20-minute process for the whole thing. So it really cuts it down. But, of course, this week, 17.1.2 comes out, so I have to go and download all of those files
again.
Again,
yes.
To be fair, I only do 9th-gen iPads, 10th-gen iPads, I do the iPhone 13, the iPhone 14, because that really accounts for most of our business, quite honestly. People who are buying 15s, 15 Pros don't need me to set them up generally. People who are buying iPad Pros don't need me to set them up. But I had one this week. I had a 12.9 iPad Pro, and the people were in a hurry. And to do it through Apple, through my work Wi-Fi, was something like 3 hours, and that didn't change. Normally they go 3 hours, and then after 5 minutes it comes down to an hour, you know. And that's an hour plus then the half an hour for the thing to actually update after the preparing stage. So I just took the... I didn't even bother connecting it to hotspot. I took the Pixel 8 down to the front of the building, to our entrance, which I know where the mast is, obviously, and it's only probably a quarter of a mile away from the front of the building. You can literally see the speed ramping up as you get closer to the front of the building. It's incredible. And I downloaded a 6.78, I think it was, gigabyte file, and it was 1 minute 20 seconds. Absolutely ridiculous speeds on 3 right now, to the extent where I'm thinking, because currently I only have one SIM in each phone. In the iPhone, I've now only got the... Leica. I've only got the Leica thing. Politically, you know, it's obviously a bad thing, but at the end of the day, I'm a tight ass, and it's seven quid for 100 gig a day. Although, because it's in the iPhone, I'm not using the 100 gig because I've got nothing. No. I've got nothing to use it on. So I'm thinking of ditching that. It's got one of my sort of my secondary number on it, so I may and then of course I've lost the my main number is now in the Pixel, so people send me iMessages to that and I don't get them for like 2 hours because they've gone to the Pixel. So now I've got to download the files again, and the crazy thing is they take they take an hour to download them. Each one takes an hour from if I download them on my home network when I'm at home, and then stick them on a T7 and take them to work. But they literally take 2 or 3 minutes each if I do them on the Pixel, plug the Pixel into the Surface and copy them over. But I just can't really get I still can't see me ever using Android as my main thing, because I'm just so ingrained, and it's nothing to do with iMessage.
Well, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, we've said this before. I mean, I've just had 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
And almost the entirety of what I was doing was on the Pixel 8 Pro.
Yeah.
Didn't use the iPhone very much at all, mostly for Apple Pay, actually.
Yeah. Once you're back to work?
Well, I think I'd probably be back to the iPhone. I mean, the Pixel 8 Pro, I've got to say, I was really, really pleased with the photos it took.
Yeah,
With one very big exception, and that is those idiots at Google have removed Photosphere from the camera. Now, you may never much have used Photosphere, but although I appreciate this is quite odd, I like photographing the insides of buildings, particularly churches and cathedrals and whatever. And Photosphere is brilliant for that because you can do the sort of 40 snapshot, and basically afterwards you can zoom into any bit you like, and the detail is there, the clarity is there to be able to see it. Now, eventually got round this. I tried several versions of, I can't remember the name of it. It's the website that's got all the Pixel camera APKs, whatever it is. I tried about 5 and couldn't get any to work. And so in the end, I was very lucky because Leon sent me a link to one that did work. So I was able to use it. But, you know, I mean, they're sort of saying, they've got rid of it because they've never spent much more time developing it. Well, that isn't actually a reason to can it in my book. You know, if you look on Google Maps, for example, you'll often find Photosphere pictures that people have taken that give a sort of, you know, a really quite detailed look of the over the thing. So my first few days when I couldn't get it working, I was really frustrated because I went in several buildings that I would have liked to have used it on. And I was thinking, why did I trade in the Pixel 7 Pro, which had it? I mean, ultimately, of course, they're going to upgrade and it'll be killed. The irony of it is that I decided in the end that I couldn't take as many devices as I was going to take with me. And I left the S23 Ultra at home as a result of this, which might seem a strange decision, but it's a big and a bulky thing. But the irony is I've got a Pixel camera APK that works on the S23 Ultra, so I should have taken it. I'd have been all right, but there you go.
Have you never considered, you know, talking about taking interiors, have you never considered an Insta360?
Well, I have done, but then it's someone else to carry, isn't it? That's where the problem comes.
Yeah, it's pretty tiny.
Maybe that's what I get forced to do, actually. Yeah, the other problem with something like that is, I mean, how does that play with things like Google Photos and whatever? You have to have a separate viewer and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, all its software would be, and I mean, you're taking video, of course.
Not stills. I'm guessing
it can do skit stills. I would have thought.
You would have thought so.
But I mean, I favour these days taking video and then pulling the pictures out of those anyway. But I mean, they would just do an amazing job of doing it. But yeah, you're right.
It's actually a very good idea, Kev, that I've never thought about, and maybe I'll think about it now.
$299 on Amazon right
Christmas
now.
Christmas is coming.
Yeah, they're not a fortune, you know, and they are brilliant. Right. And, of course, the beauty of that system would be that you can lend it to me twice a year when I go on holiday.
With pleasure. Well, we shall have to have a conversation about this off air later, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. We
it
can
is
do
actually
a deal
an idea.
Here, we?
The issue for me is that I've got everything in Google Photos. And you know, anything I buy, I would really quite like to have in Google Photos. Maybe Google has taken that option away. Thanks a bunch, guys.
They do kill so many things, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
You know,
but the thing about that is, have you ever used what used to be called Google Sky Map and is now called Sky Map?
No, I haven't.
Well, basically, it's an app that Google developed, and you hold it up to the night sky, and it maps out all the constellations and where the planets are and all that sort of thing, so that you can look up there and go, oh, that's Cassiopeia or whatever it might be. Now, if you're not interested in that, I grant you that's not the most exciting thing, but they decided to can that one and basically said we're going to release it as a separate app, and if anybody wants to come and develop it, then, you know, we'll hand it over to you, which is in fact what's happened, and that app is still going. Why not just do that with Photosphere? Make it a separate app and say, look, we're not planning on developing this anymore, but here it is. It is so frustrating what they do. And I mean, let's face it, they've done it with so many things, haven't they? I finally got to grips with Google Plus, and then they canned that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't trust them, that's for sure.
That was one of only two real frustrations on holiday, and actually had a great time. And yeah, it was probably worth saving up for 3 years for. Just it's sort of a bit sad to come back to weather quite like this. But still, that's what happens if you go away in November, isn't it, really? I mean, it's a bit of a contrast from a week ago. And like I say, 38 degrees C difference.
Yeah, that is a bit of a shock to the system, isn't it?
It feels very cold.
In other news, I have, in the past week, basically ditched iCloud.
Have you?
Completely.
Why?
Well, at work, obviously, we get the setups, and quite often had one this week. No iCloud, because they've done their 5 gig, and there is no way in hell, despite just having paid 700 quid for a phone, they're not paying 10 quid a year to Apple for storage. So the only way I can do my job then is doing a backup on the... on the Surface that we use, got an old Surface that we have, and we do a backup on that, and then obviously restore it to the new iPad or iPhone or whatever, and that works absolutely fine. You have to, if you do that, you have to click the encryption button. Otherwise, if they've got health data and such and passwords and things, they won't come over. But that's all fine. You do that and it works quite well. It's always a last resort for me because I don't like putting customer data onto. When I do it, the first thing I do is disconnect the internet from that machine, because obviously I don't need internet while I'm doing that. So I turn the internet off, and I've got a shortcut on the desktop. So the moment that I've restored it, I can double click that. It takes me to the folder where the backup has gone. I immediately delete it and then empty the bin. So it's a very safe system. And I don't think Apple, they wouldn't let you back up someone else's one if you forgot to do that. It only ever backs it up the right way, but belt and braces and everything. And I thought to myself, then the thing popped up for £2.99 from Apple. Because I was over 50 gig, right? So it just beggars belief, really, that they can be so mean You know, first of all, to only give you 5 gig, for Christ's sake, and that hasn't changed in 10 years, probably, or ever, probably ever. You know, it's just ridiculous, really. I'm not one of these sort of people that wants to slag Apple off for, you know, it's why they're doing so well, is the way they approach business. But there is taking the piss and taking the piss, and this is really taking the piss. And it was just a thing. I was bored on my day off, and I just thought, right, to hell with it. I'm going to get it down to Thimian. So first of all, most of the stuff on there to go over 50 gig was photos. And I thought, why do I need them? They're all on Google. Every single time I click the shutter button on or take a bloody screenshot, they're on Google within minutes. You know, they're not in full resolution on Google, but I don't care. I reckon 30% of my photos are screenshots of crap at work, you know, and stuff like that. I don't need them. I never need them again. Google, I don't really pay for storage on that. It's £1.59 a month. In fact, I just went for the 25 quid one, and that's all paid for out of rewards. I'm already back up to halfway through another year's worth.
See, rewards is a sore point with me, because obviously, I think unless you've got a Google device and you go near shops, you don't get very much.
That's correct.
I don't actually go out very much, but when I do, I invariably take a Pixel or something with me. I still get about one every 3 weeks, and I opened the other day and it was 8p. Well,
the problem you have, Mr. Yates, is that I don't think you'll find Fortnum and Mason, Waitrose, all of these places. They don't really need that data.
Something tells me you shop in Waitrose more than I do, mate.
I shop every day in Waitrose, but they never come up. It's the Co-op. You need to get to the Co-op. You need to get to B&M. Where else? Anywhere like that. Any low-end place you need to get to. Yeah. I'm a fan of B&M, actually, right now, because I particularly like the Fibre One bars, the little chocky, triple chock.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about them before.
Jobbies, you know, 6 grams of fibre and really not that, don't have a massive impact on my blood sugar, and brilliant. And they're always like £4 in Waitrose. They're always £1.50 in B&M. I'm a big fan. But the biggest problem, of course, was backups. Once I'd got rid of those, I thought, first of all, it all went wrong. It wouldn't let me downgrade. It just went completely crazy. I got on the helpline to Apple. They took a look at it. And then somehow, while I was on the helpline, I was fiddling around with it, and somehow I suddenly solved it. But I needed to have 50 gig, which is 99p, and I was almost thinking, well, all right then, it's 99p. I can't berate people at work and say you won't pay 99p and then refuse to pay it myself. And then I thought, no, I'm getting it below 5. Why shouldn't I just back up my iPad? My iPad backs up 78 gigabytes. I can only assume it's something to do with PUBG. I reckon the game files must be here. I haven't bothered looking yet. But anyway, I backed the iPad up to my MacBook, which is very, very simple. I backed the iPhone. I was left with 9 gigabytes. That's my iPhone backup. 9 gigabytes. So I backed that up to the MacBook and deleted it. I've copied the backups to my T7, or both of my T7s, actually. And I shall do that once a month and see how that goes. And I don't really see the issue with it, to be honest. I don't think I'm going to lose anything by it. The 5 gig of iCloud is plenty, just to give you access to the different things that iCloud gives you access to, which I've completely lost track of these days, to be honest.
I often look at things like Apple One, for example, and like some of the stuff on there, yeah, I might be interested in, but one of the things that's always put me off is that it includes 50 gigs, I think, on iCloud. Well, I use more than that, and it also includes things that I'm not even a little bit interested in. I mean, when I had a trial of Apple News, it was just a pain in the neck because it kept referring me to things that were behind paywalls. Well, sorry guys, if I'm paying you for this, I don't expect to then have to pay again to actually see what you're recommending. So I ditched that pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, that is another ridiculous thing, isn't it? It's £18.95 a month, and you get Apple TV, music and arcade. Okay, fair enough. It's not that expensive for though if you want those three things.
Yeah, I mean, I
why
arcade,
are they?
But,
you know, they're literally controlling it to 50 gig. They're giving you within that 99p option on iCloud. You know, they could easily give you 200, and then have a terabyte on the family plan, and then 2 terabytes on the premier plan or whatever. But now they got a nickel and dime us all the time. In a silly way, I kind of wish I could use the Pixel as my only phone, but it's maybe I could if I just used it exclusively. Because it's funny, isn't it? Yours is iPhone for work and Pixel for play, and for me now it's the other way around. It's Pixel for work. I could happily live with just the Pixel at work because I'd come home every night and the iPhone would. Would update the watch and stuff like that. One weird thing that did happen when I ditched iCloud is it wiped all my payment cards. And I'm assuming it's because at one point I had to sign out of my account, or a couple of times I had to sign out of my account and sign back in. So I'm assuming once you sign out and it turns off Find My, it somehow wipes all your cards.
Yeah, I guess that'd have to be, wouldn't it?
And lost the addresses as well, apparently. I tried to pay with Apple Pay the other day. Not over a terminal, that works fine, but I tried to pay in an app. In fact, it was Burger King, as it goes. And it said, oh, your address is wrong. Address wasn't wrong. I just had to retick the box and then it worked again. But I find it really Apple used to be the simple solution, didn't it? It was much simpler than anything else. And it got criticism for that. But now it's quite complicated, some of it. You've got to get to grips with it. You have to either watch a YouTube video on it or it doesn't matter because you don't really care. It just, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it, I don't know. I still think the Pixel is... I can't see me ever having a non-Pixel Android again because it seems to do the...
Ever?
Well, I looked the other day because someone suggested before, obviously, Amazon have decided to drop it to $499. Someone suggested, it's overkill to have that as a bloody modem, effectively. Get shot of that and get 100 quid Xiaomi,
Or go on eBay and buy a £20 broadband modem.
No, that doesn't work because you can't get 5G. It's 4G only.
Oh, you need a 5G one.
If I can't get the sort of 700, 800.
You're not going to
get that with 4G. 4G generally isn't bad. It's about a couple of hundred. But it's all about 5G now on that thing. But I mean, I could get a 5G phone, but you can't necessarily trust that it's going to be as quick as that on a 100 quid Xiaomi or 200 quid Samsung. But what would you sell the Pixel 8 for now? If people have seen it at 499, 300 quid, 350 quid.
It's complete madness. Floor, isn't it? What are they selling the 8 Pro for at the moment? Is it just the 8?
I don't know. And I don't know where this has come from. Whether it's come from Google, I don't think they reduced it. Pixel 8 Pro is still $999. I'm guessing that the 8 just isn't selling and Amazon have got too many of them.
Yeah.
And they're selling them at a loss, I guess. Probably won't be for very long, I wouldn't imagine. It's probably a one-off, but Pixel 8, $499, saved 29%, lowest price in 30 days. I would imagine it's the lowest price ever.
Since launch, you'd think, yeah.
That's a nice, that's a cracking little buy if you want one. Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, okay, you can get a pink one. A hazel one you won't get until 21st December, And an obsidian one you won't get until 21st of December. But then under that, it says usually dispatches within 1 to 2 months. So actually, you can't like get one tomorrow or anything. That's obviously been a very popular offer.
Well, it's not surprising it's been a popular offer.
No, absolutely. And then if you click 256 gig, apparently they're free. Oh, no, 256. Who's selling that? Amazon. 559. Jeez. You'd buy
that. 256 is 559.
Yeah, you'd buy that anyway, wouldn't you? And you'd get it tomorrow. You'd get it tomorrow. In Hazel, at least, and in Obsidian. None in Obsidian. No, I haven't got any Obsidian, but in Hazel, you'd have one tomorrow, and it's sold by Amazon, delivered by Amazon. Can only assume that Google have that as an offer at the moment.
Well, they must have got a load of stock that they are shifting cheaply, mustn't they?
Yeah, I guess so. Have a quick look. Shop offers. Save £100 on Pixel tablet. Woohoo! It's only £4.99 for that crappy thing now. Pixel 8 Pro and get a Fitbit Charge 6. Oh, God. Nest Hub for £50. Trade in Pixel Fold, Pixel 8. Get the free case. No, can't even see the Pixel 8 on here. How weird. Oh, there it is. It is. I've got somebody called Richard Yates in the way of the buy button. No, £6.99. Just an Amazon thing. Just an Amazon deal. Yeah. Yeah, just a Pixel. Yeah, just a Pixel thing. Kind of glad now that I bought it on. It's like £28 a month at the moment. And I'm just glad I bought it on that, really, because it gives me a. It's a 2-year contract, but it gives me the 100 gigabyte. SIM that I needed for 3 via ID, and that's the SIM that's producing really good speeds. I know that SIM is only about £16 a month, generally speaking, anyway. But as I said at the time,
things not costing you.
Yeah, it's £12 a month, and you just sort of think, well, okay, it's £12 a month. You know, that's not the end of the world. It's going to go up, as we know, in March or April. With a bit of luck, it won't go up even as much as I thought it would, because inflation appears to be coming down, although...
What a disgusting scam that is. We won't increase prices by inflation this year, and then one by one they've all gone on and done it, and Ofcom sits on its hands and does nothing. Like, we won't reintroduce roaming charges. Well, credit to O2, they haven't reintroduced roaming charges, but the rest of them...
Yeah, Ofcom may as well not exist.
Ofcom is a complete waste of space in my book. It doesn't do anything. I mean, well, no, don't get me started.
Nothing's happening.
Ofcom, I'd bang a few heads together.
Problem is, we're in limbo for basically a year until the government has changed, and then maybe they will sort out Ofcom, maybe they won't. But
I think they'll have a few bigger problems than Ofcom, though. That's the trouble. Well, I mean, fancy allowing everybody to be able to be stuffed with a 15% increase this year. I mean,
I know.
God, blimey. Just... Speaking as a small business, what I wouldn't give to be able to put my prices at 5%, let alone 15%. Just a tax.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
And I still
crazy.
Don't get very good coverage at most of the places I go either. So, yeah, they are rats over.
Yeah, quite so. Quite so. What else are we going to talk about? I just had a pop-up on me. You'd be pleased to hear that the president of COP28 says that, there's really no science behind needing to phase out fossil fuels at all. It's quite weird coming from... that wasn't what I was planning on. Hang on 1 second. I have a phone call coming in. I don't know how that... Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you.
Let me send a quick text to her indoors. This is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes for...
Yeah, I can't be bothered to stop it and start it again. I'll probably have to edit it then.
Well, it's a certain amount of a humour factor, isn't it?
I could have got her in on the call. Could I? No, I don't know. It wasn't coming in on FaceTime, I don't think. I don't know why she's calling me. I'm trying to think of anything else that we wanted to cover, really. Been away for a month, but I can't think
of... Well, I mean, you know...
Not a lot has changed.
I must admit, I looked with bated breath to see TT UK with young James in place a fortnight ago, thinking to myself, well, that'd be interesting to listen to one evening. And then he went on Audi, didn't he?
Yeah, I think I feel for him, really. He must be increasingly annoyed by how work gets in the way of the holidays, really, because I'd imagine they just sort of tell him to book the day, the weeks he's going to work, rather than the, you know, most of us book our holidays. But he works hard, so he deserves it, I think. But I just couldn't think of a hell of a lot to say, really. It seems like tech has gone, like the whole, I don't know if you listen to the Waveform podcast which is Marcus Brownlee, I don't think you do, but
no.
The whole thing is about this Cybertruck this week, and increasingly I just can't get excited about anything that guy does anymore without wanting to get into the whole thing. I just can't.
It's interesting. Before we started the show this morning, you asked me whether I'd seen something you'd put on Twitter. We'll leave your heating system out of the
podcast.
But it's interesting. I thought while I was away, I can't keep up with Twitter or Threads or whatever else. I'm just not going to bother opening them. And so, in fact, I'd have actually opened Twitter because a good friend, John Belshaw, sent me a message on it, and I got an email saying you've got a direct message. But actually, I haven't looked at it now for over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I haven't really missed it. I mean, the trouble with it is, it's very sad to say, but a huge quantity of nubile Russian girls who are interested in meeting me for nocturnal activities, well, it'll probably kill me, unfortunately. Nice though the ambition might be, the performance wouldn't be there. And every time I post anything on there, about 54 million of them seem to like every post, which, I mean, I think the guy has lost the plot here. I mean, I don't know if you saw a report in the press that he got very angry with the chairman of Disney and named him by name and told him to do one, to put it in less vernacular English than he used. Well, that's not the way you get advertisers onto your platform, it seems to me.
No.
I rather suspect Twitter won't be around in 6 months' time because, as far as I can gather, he needs to make $4 billion worth of advertising sales every year, and the best estimates at the moment are about $1.9 billion. Well, then does he put more money into it or does he let it go bust?
He's
done absolutely crazy, I think.
I think probably needing to make that money, and then his current marketing ploy of telling his best advertisers to F off is probably not the right thing, but the conspiracy theory is back that he just wants to bankrupt it, go into Chapter 11 and not have to pay back all the money he owes on it. I don't know how that works in the States, but it always seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, he'd lose the money that he'd
he put in, but that was peanuts, wasn't it, for him?
Oh, well, I don't think it was peanuts for him actually, but it was something he can afford. The problem, of course, is what's the knock-on damage to his other businesses? And whilst I was away, we had an Uber ride in a Tesla, and it was very impressive. I mean, I've got an electric car, but there were a few things on there I was thinking, yeah, that's quite neat. That's very, very well thought through, that sort of thing, you know.
The thing about Twitter is I did put on there, I've posted the first post, and you know, not sure if any plumbers are following me, but a little video of my heating pump going wrong. One guy telling me it might catch fire. Thanks, Chris. Lovely. I shall sleep well tonight. And then John tell us that's the pump, and it was me. I'd carry on using it because someone booked, which I kind of have. I've emailed someone. Someone else advised me to turn the speed down until it's fixed. And then just now, actually, a chap, Gareth Wright, thanks, Gareth, fairly common fault, turn it all off, unscrew the centre bit, careful, hot water will pop out, flush with clean water, screw back in, and you're good. So I may well have a go at that. I was looking at this little screw in the middle and thought, if I remove that, is the whole thing going to spring apart, you know, and blow up? It's also, as I said to you, when we started, I got Hive Heating, which I guess is tech related. I've got Hive Heating, and the app is set for anyone who knows thing, you've got schedule or manual. Obviously, it's on schedule. All my schedule for today has limited the temperature to 19.5 because I didn't want it cutting in when the show was on. And it was showing 20.5. I'm realising now, actually, we've been going about 54 minutes. It was showing 20.5 and it's gone down to 19.2, which is unlikely, I think, in 54 minutes, personally, because it's not even freezing in Ipswich today. So I'm wondering, I wonder if the batteries haven't been changed in the thermostat for ages on the Hive. I'm wondering if it's measuring it wrong, you know, and sending
something silly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a Hive-related story for my life. I mean, this is sort of both sad and impressive. While we were away, we turned the heating down in the house, of course. And so when we arrived at Heathrow, the temperature in the house was 13.1 degrees. So literally, before I got off the plane, I whacked it up to 20. And it goes to show how much energy you need to actually increase it. It was 16.5 when we got home, which was at least bearable, but felt very cold. But I just sat there and thought the technology involved in arriving at the airport, logging onto the mobile network and changing the heating at home is quite impressive. But probably not my most impressive tech achievement while we were away, actually. That goes to driving from Sydney to Canberra and listening to music streamed over Plexamp from the server on my desk at home. And it did it absolutely faultlessly. It didn't drop it once.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, to a degree, I did it just to see if it would work. But, I mean, I don't know, half a dozen CDs, something like that, that have all been ripped and put on my Synology box. And it all streamed on the other side of the world without shuddering or anything at all over 4 and 5G. I just thought, well, you know, what a world are we living in, really?
Yeah.
I remember when we went to Australia 37 years ago when I worked there for 6 months. The first month, we couldn't even ring home without going to the phone box with a handful of Aussie dollars and shoveling them in the machine. So to be able to do that, it's come on quite a way, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I've been distracted a bit from the couple of text messages, but no problem.
Sure.
What else?
What about our Christmas offer that was sent to us by our good friend John?
Christmas offer? Have we got a Christmas offer?
Yeah. He sent me an email. Remember, I told you about it earlier. You obviously weren't paying any attention.
Obviously, I wasn't listening, was I?
No, clearly not. I mean, it's just shocking, isn't it? Right. If you go to Curry's.
Oh, I did hear you say that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. And
oh, yes.
Sign up for Curry's Perks Club. Now, you may not wish to go to the Curry's Perks Club, but.
What is Curry's Perks Club?
Latest offers from our premium partners, some of the biggest brands around. And as John pointed out, one of the offers is 5 months free Apple TV Plus, which, if you want to sign up for that now and activate it now, means you've got Apple TV Plus all through the Christmas holiday.
Okay, right. Okay, I'm looking now.
It must be said, I had 3 months Apple TV Plus when I bought some device a while ago, and with looking back on it, never used it once because I'm not a great watcher of television. But for some people, and especially over Christmas, having that extra channel might be worth having, mightn't it?
Yeah, if you won't be able to get it, though, if you've already had the offer of a free trial.
Well, I'm not entirely sure. That was my initial thought.
Okay.
But cannot have already redeemed an Apple service from Curry's Group, because what they do is they send you a voucher.
Maybe it would work, then.
Yeah, I might do it. Just give it a go and see.
Mm.
But I thought to myself, well, it's worth repeating that one, because it actually sounds like, you know, some people might get some use out of that. I think we've got at least one friend who's gone through chopping subscription services for a while. I mean, I don't know. It's probably well over a year since I had the 3 free months.
It's so saying, it says if you've had Apple Arcade, you can still get another free trial. You can't with Apple Music.
Where are you reading that?
That's halfway down the page. Under Apple Arcade, but there's nothing similar to that question.
I can't see anything about Apple Arcade. I'm just looking at Perks Zone.
Yeah, just click on the. I don't know where I ended up actually.
What do I click on?
I clicked on Apple TV from the perks zone.
All right. Well, let's see what that says. Discover Apple TV Plus. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And then it tells you about arcade and stuff like that. But
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it might work. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, I guess the bottom line, it's only $4.99 a month anyway. So if you really want it, it's not fortune, I suppose. In any device you buy, you get 3 months anyway.
Not on Apple TV, you don't.
Yeah, it always comes up on the... Yeah, you do.
No, I haven't had it offered to me on any of my recent purchases, but I guess that might be because I've had it before.
Maybe, although I see it on virtually every setup I do for iPad and iPhone.
If I look at my iPhone, I think it's still got the offers from when I bought it.
Yeah. We usually shout about it on our selling page for iPads and things.
Services included with purchase. Apple Fitness Plus, 3 months. Apple Arcade, 3 months. Apple News Plus, 3 months. And that's it.
Oh, fair enough.
So, I don't know, maybe... I should check on when Fiona's out now. But
certainly, if I go on my iPad 10.9, just the 10th gen one, new subscribers only get it for 3 months. So, yeah, it probably knows you've already had it once you've signed in with your Apple ID.
Yeah.
And then doesn't offer. Oh, it's $6.99 now. Good old Apple.
Yeah.
It's $6.99.
I thought it was more than $4.99, but I wasn't going to argue.
I mean, apart from Ted Lasso, I can't think of anything I'd want to... watch, and that's finished.
But this is exactly my problem. I've never actually found anything I wanted to watch.
Yeah, and you wouldn't.
In fact, how much does Apple TV Plus cost? Following any introductory promotional period, the subscription is £8.99 a month.
Oh, it just says £6.99 on the John Lewis website.
I don't know. Maybe it does include family sharing, apparently.
I don't know.
Well, I think if people want to do this, the moral of the story is, since it's gone up twice while we've been talking about it, you better get in there quickly.
Yeah, I think
so. It was $4.99, and it was $6.99, and now it's $8.99.
Oh, that's interesting. In the small print on the John Lewis site, it says $4.99 a month after free trial, but in the other section it says $6.99. Good Lord. Oh, this is crazy. This is crazy. My heating has just cut in. And I switched it off.
I mean...
Well, I didn't switch it off. I didn't switch it off. I switched manual. No, I switched to manual, and it's now dropped to 19. So that's legit.
It's better that it's coming on during a cold snap rather than refusing to come on.
I'm turning it off now.
When you don't want it to come on.
I'm turning it off, because as soon as we finish the show, I'm going to unscrew that big screw in the middle of my pump and see what happens. Because apparently someone's told me I can squirt some water in there and clean it out. One place, actually, or a couple of places on YouTube, said it's probably got some air in the system, and if you undo that screw, the air should come out. And when the boiler got serviced a couple of weeks ago for the first time since COVID, since 2019, I think, no one came out during COVID to do it. Mm. And he said it's coped quite well, actually. It's a basic boiler, I think. But he had to let air out of at least one of the radiators, suggesting that there could be some air in there. So I'm gonna give that a go. But I've turned it off now.
Bleeding radiators is gonna be on my list.
I've never done it. I've got no idea. I think you just unscrew it and wait for the bubbles to stop, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, basically, yeah, yeah. You need to have a cloth, otherwise you're liable to cover yourself in dirty water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where does the water come from in the first place? There's a tank in the loft, I guess.
Yeah, it's connected to your water system, the heating system.
Yeah, I know
hot water comes out of your heating system and flows to the radiator.
And just flows to the radiator. Yeah, but it's not the same water you shower in, is it?
I think it ultimately comes from the same source.
Oh, that's not nice.
I'm bound to admit that not really, because it's clean water that goes in your shower, and it'll be clean water that goes in your radiators. But the inside of your radiators will be, A, partly corroded, and B, probably full of all sorts of chemicals to make them work properly.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it needs a complete flush through. It's 13 years old.
I'm bound to admit that you're now reaching about the limit of my understanding of heating systems. I do have things that I would say I was reasonably specialist in, but But heating systems, no.
But this was, going back to Twitter, this was my point, is it's one of the few places where I could have guaranteed getting a few replies instantly. There's nowhere else that I could put that where I would get. It's no good going on Mastodon and putting that thing, because I, well, maybe that's unfair. Maybe I would. Maybe I'll try it after the show. Mm. Although I'd probably get the same replies from the same people, to be honest, or some of the same people. But I've got hardly any followers on there, and I've still got 1,100, although I think only about 500 of those are real people.
Probably do better on Threads, actually. I mean, Threads at the moment...
Oh, God, Threads quite... still exist, well, does it?
Yeah, yeah, Threads is actually quite right. Nice, because it has no adverts. But the trouble is, if you spend 5 minutes looking at Instagram, they promise no adverts for a year. So basically, they're going to create something really quite nice and then trash it.
I've deleted it.
I can't look at Instagram anymore. It's just unbelievably bad.
Yeah, I've got a stalker account, but I haven't got a real account. I don't like it. I've deleted Threads. It's got the little cloud arrow, so I've obviously had it and deleted it.
Yeah. I didn't look at that while I was away either, and I didn't really miss it, if I'm absolutely honest.
No.
It was, you know, I mean, well, for a start off, it's not the most sociable thing you can do is to go away on holiday with your spouse for nearly 3 weeks and in fact spend the entire time reading Twitter and Threads. But
no, probably not.
I think a great plan. It just serves to wind you up, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're probably right. For some reason I've set the MIDI system up on here. I don't know what's going on. Never mind. Hopefully we've just recorded this. Seems to be recording. FaceTime's working out okay as well, isn't it, as a transport? Certainly no problems.
We'll find out whether anybody can hear us when you send the podcast.
Yeah, lovely to get rid of Skype, actually. That's one less,
I'm not missing Skype at all. I shall be installing that on the new MBA, that's for sure.
No, it's lovely not to have to introduce that into the mix.
So isn't this just typical? Every previous time I've used this MacBook Air since I squashed it, the screen has flashed on and off. And here we are. We've now been chatting. Well, we were chatting for about 15 minutes, weren't we, before we started recording.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hasn't flashed once.
Really?
It's almost as if it knows I bought a new one and it's taking the mickey out.
Yeah, absolutely.
How irritating. However, I'm sure it will do it again. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to get any better, is it?
No.
I don't think. It's interesting how things have changed for me, I think, because I was listening to a podcast earlier about the... Samsung S24 Ultra, which apparently is launching in the middle of January this year. It seems to get like
a month earlier.
Yeah, it'll soon be, only last 6 months, and they'll be releasing the new one. But and I just thought, oh my God, I just don't care. I mean, I had the S23 Ultra and really enjoyed it, but the beauty of the Pixel 8 is that I am carrying both and not really struggling to carry them both, not really getting annoyed, because they're both, believe it or not, exactly the same weight. The iPhone 15 Pro and the Pixel 8 are the same.
I could believe that.
Identical weight. Yeah. They're literally identical.
I mean, the S23 Ultra, I don't plan on getting rid of it. I mean, not for quite some while. But the problem is size. It is not comparing it with, say, the 15 Pro Max, it's not a massively comfortable thing in the hand. That was really one of the reasons I left it behind. Mm. On the other hand, it's an absolute beast in terms of what it can do. I mean, I don't use a fraction of the things. I mean, I was listening to last week's PSC with Jim Fowle a couple of days ago, and he was talking about, I go places and I use DeX and whatever. Well, I've played with DeX, but the trouble with DeX, it always seems to me, is that by the time you've plugged your phone in and then you've got a mouse and a keyboard, and you might as well take a bloody laptop with you. It's functionality don't get me wrong, if people want to use it, then of course I'm glad they can use it. But for me, it has no value. Try running an Excel spreadsheet on DeX and you won't get very far.
Yeah, it's more of a tech demo, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, the idea is a great one, but I mean, you know, I rock up to a TV. I mean, I suppose I can see it working is you plug your phone into the TV and you play video over it or something. Well, yes, all right, I do get that. That's quite valuable, and I mean, This S23 Ultra I've got is a 512 gigabyte version. I knew that I could put half a dozen movies on it. Mm. But like I just said earlier, I had Apple TV Plus for 3 months and didn't use it once. So it's not a good selling point from my case, which isn't down to me being funny. But the thing about these Samsungs is what they do is incredible. But I would much rather have an S24 the size of the S24 Ultra the size of the S24. I mean, I had for a little while last year the S22 non-ultra ordinary version, which was very similar in size to the 13 Pro. Mm. I absolutely loved it. It was a cracking device. But if you want the cameras, then you've got to have this small house brick. They need to look into that and try and sort of find a way of dealing with it, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Right, I think we are struggling now, aren't we?
I could chuck in one or two things like Virgin Media annoying me, but it really wouldn't add very much to it. I cancelled my service, and they have now sent me 3 emails several days apart saying, send your box back or else we'll charge you £40. And there's a form to fill in to have them send some packaging. I've filled that form in 3 times now. Guess how many lots of packaging I've received?
Mm.
And so then you look at, how do we get in touch with us? Well, the answer is you can't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all I want is some packaging and an address to send it to, and I'll happily send their box back.
Yeah.
But I'm buggered if I'm going to pay them £40 for a box that I don't want that they won't tell me how to
get
it.
I've had the same thing with BT before, and in the end they just said, bin it. Funnily enough, I was going to mention, we've started doing a trade-in thing at work, and the only trouble is, because it's being done in-store... it's another job for me. I have to send them away, but it's easy enough, to be fair. It's perfectly easy enough. But the silly thing is, almost everyone thinks they're going to, you know, they'll go online and they'll go, yeah, you're going to get £200 for that old iPhone. And of course, what do they expect? They expect to get it off the iPhone they're now buying, like you would a car. That's exactly what they expect. Then we have to say, no, you pay the full price today. We'll send that away for you. And in about a week, you'll get the money through. That's assuming they don't change the value of it. Because it's no different to sending it to any other thing. It's all down to how you describe it. Obviously, we can describe it for them. But here's the other thing. Someone said they wanted to do it the other day, even after we told them that. And then when I talked to them, I said, well, if you leave that here... What are you? They didn't want a setup with me. They weren't doing a setup with me. I just got involved. And I said, what are you going to use to transfer all your data then? Are you sure that's completely backed up to iCloud? Oh, I don't know. I said, well, you don't want to leave that with me today then, do you? Because you're going to take this new one home and you're not going to, you know, it's a very easy setup. You know, you bring the old one next to the new one and press a few buttons and away you go. Oh, yeah, I need it for that, don't I? I said, well, you can obviously take that home with you. I recommend, and then when I do a setup, I've had a couple of people, so after the setup, go, can I trade it in now? And I'm like, well, you can, but my advice is don't do it for at least 2 weeks, because we don't know for sure. We won't necessarily know. We can't be 100% sure that everything is transferred anyway. The odds are it has, you know, we can look at photos and things like that. I'm not allowed to click on anything of the customers until they're with me. Which, you know, is normal and what you'd expect. Fair and enough. I wouldn't want to anyway, you know. But I do the transfer. I can see that it's gone through, but I can't really click on photos or messages. Most of the time, as you're doing it, you know, a message will come in and you think, well, that's working then. But, you know, until the customer comes back to pick it up, I don't click on anything. And then we just run through it when they come back. And you know, every single time, of course, it has gone. You get the message saying everything's been transferred and you assume that Apple have done it. But, yeah, the trade-in thing strikes me as really, really weird. We must get something out of it, I guess, somewhere along the line. I notice the prices are generally a few quid less than Music Magpie and people like that. So it's probably what we get out of it, I suppose. But... every little helps, as they say.
I found when I got rid of a couple of things before I went away, it really paid to shop around, because I got one through Music Magpie and another through Mazuma. Now, I've got to say, the Mazuma experience was a lot better than Music Magpie.
Yeah, you've never had much joy with Music Magpie, have you?
Well, what happened with Mazuma was that I got a message the day it arrived to say it had been received, and cutting a long story short, I got several emails along the way and was paid the same day. Music Magpie said they'd pay you the same day. I sent it to them special delivery, and they signed for it at 8:30 in the morning, and I'd heard nothing 2 days later, and then all of a sudden I got an email saying, oh, your thing's arrived today and we're going to deal with it. I'm thinking, well, no, I know it arrived 2 days ago, guys.
Yeah.
I've been sat in a pallet for 2 days, haven't it?
Yeah, probably.
But anyway, to be fair, it did all go through okay, and they did pay out, so it could have been a lot worse. And so I maxed out the value of those two that way, but in terms of experience, Mazuma was on a different league to Music Magpie. It really was. So it may be worth thinking about. It's the thought for the future. End of the day, if you want to move something on, you want to get a decent price for it, and preferably reasonably quickly, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, if you said, what is the most common phone you transfer from, have a guess. What do you reckon? And it's by a huge margin.
Probably something like an iPhone 12 or something like that.
Absolutely not. It's a 6 or a 6S.
As old as that?
Yeah. Isn't it? Nearly always.
My dad, a few years ago, went into an Apple store and he decided he ought to have an iPhone. And they sold him a 6S. And when I found out about it, I was livid because that was back in the days of, I suppose, iPhone 8 or something. So they'd already sold him something that was like 3 years going out.
Yeah,
And bless him, he died last year, but yeah, I don't think he ever really got to grips with it. He never really used it. I think really all he ever did was check the weather icon. But I mean, I've got this iPhone 6S, which, you know, it is quite interesting to compare it with the current hardware. Because in some ways, I don't know if you heard Steve talking in the week about being given an iPod Touch. And there's a bit of me thinks, well, yeah, maybe I could put some music on it and use it as a music player or something. But what's the point? I've got a 256 gig, 15 Pro Max. You know, there's plenty of room for any music I might want to put in it. Or indeed, even on the other side of the world, I can stream it from my Synology box. So no, I don't think I'm doing that. But you amaze me. So you're getting loads of those in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I bet the trading value isn't very good on a 6S.
It's nothing. It's zero. It doesn't exist. Yeah. They don't want them. Yeah. You know, they don't want them at all. And then people get a little bit annoyed. Well, hang on. You've got these trading things up all over the place. Yeah, it's too old.
You're bringing in a phone that's years old.
Yeah, it's too old. And you know, the other thing with 6 and 6Ss is I never bother anymore trying to do a direct backup, because it'll come up, it'll pop up the thing, and then it'll go through the motions, and then it'll go, no, can't do that. So I go for iCloud backup wherever possible. That's assuming they got enough storage, you know, and if not, I use the laptop. But, well, I've got some bits to do before I watch yet another football match. I'm watching Norwich today, so...
Hang on a minute. You're watching Norwich?
Yeah, it's lovely to watch them lose. I love it. It's great. Fabulous.
I mean, Atletico Madrid, I could understand, but Norwich?
Yeah, I haven't watched any Spanish stuff for a while since Thingy left and went to... wherever he's gone to make loads of money, America, I think. I don't want to watch it anymore. Messi, I'm talking about. But obviously, you want to have a chat about football, so we'll talk about Ipswich. We've got 45 points.
Hang on, I better have a look at the league table here. So
have a look. Have a little look. Yeah, have a little look at the champion. We're in the championship, by the way.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I seem to recollect you're second in the championship.
We are. Which is amazing. By the way, don't look for Reading in that league, because they're not in there.
Reading.
Reading is not. League. They're in like league. I think they're in like third division south or something. Something like that. I can't remember.
Aren't the ones with a big funky stadium?
Reading have a record. You know, they are the team with the current most points in the championship in a year. 106. Points, which is kind of staggering, really.
But which championship? The Beza Holmes Championship?
No, it was the actual legal championship, the one Ipswich are in now. So yeah, we've played 19, we've got 45 points. That's about 2.36 points per game. Normally 2 points a game gets you in the top two. Part of me still thinks that we'll do well to stay there. The thing about the Championship now is that basically the three teams that came up, which was Leicester, Southampton and Leeds. I hope I got that right. I do mean down, yeah. They've got parachute payments, so they've got millions of pounds from the Premiership.
So their squad's worth far more than anybody else.
Yeah, their squads are still Premiership squads, and I watched the Leicester game yesterday. And, you know, they just keep doing amazing things, but we are literally 2 points behind them. And Norwich are on, not quite, but near enough half the number of points we're on, which is delightful. None of this will count for anything if in 2 weeks' time they beat us, because they've obviously beaten us every season for the last sort of... Every time we've played them, it used to be Ipswich were way ahead on wins, but Norwich have brought that much closer over the years, and we've had a torrid time against them. So obviously in 2 weeks' time we want to win that one, but I don't really care that much, but it's an old rivalry.
You can enjoy it. Yeah, you can enjoy it, can't you?
I've really got into football this year, actually, much more than I ever used to. So
the trouble really, Irene, is that let's say you get promoted to the Premiership.
Yeah.
That'll be absolutely fabulous for the fans. But the truth of the matter is, because of the cost of the Premiership, almost certainly you get absolutely screwed and sent back down the next year. I mean, sure, it doesn't always happen, I grant you, but it happens more often than not, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the as a fan, that is your dilemma, because the bottom line is, when all said and done, you'll still give anything for a year in the Prem. Because you want Man United, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal, you want all of those teams coming to Portman Road.
Sorry for James, really. I mean, his team has got an enormous stadium, as I recall.
Yeah.
And I found them. They're at the bottom of League One.
Yeah, it's not a great...
From bottom.
Yeah.
18 matches and 13 points, my goodness.
Yes, it's...
So they could be going down again.
A popular YouTuber, young lady, who goes around every ground in the UK... very, very good. She has just her viewers have just voted Reading the most depressing club in Britain. Sadly.
If you're a fan of a team that has been as big as Reading, and they're now looking at relegation from League One, right before Christmas, so there's plenty of time to pull it back. But it's not where you'd really want to go into the Christmas season. 18 matches, 13 points. Even I know that.
No, indeed. But yeah, my boys are doing well. It does genuinely, I think, either boost or depress the town a little bit. I think these things do have an effect outside of football. And there's certainly a buzz around Ipswich at the moment for the whole thing.
We do a little bit of that here. I mean, the south side of Birmingham, and where I live just outside Birmingham, tends to be more Birmingham City territory. But nonetheless, Aston Villa are in fourth, I see, in the Premier League.
Are they?
They must be doing something right, mustn't they? Yeah.
They must be, yeah. I don't really follow the Premier League at all, in fairness. Yeah. But obviously we'll start taking an interest if we manage to get there. I mean, if you look at the league table, it would be very unlikely that we wouldn't at least be in the playoffs, even this early in the season. You know, we're not even halfway.
But I mean,
15 points, I think, between us and sixth place. So that's still only 5 games, I guess. So, you know.
The point is, you've got to be in there with a chance, haven't you? So,
yeah, and I mean, we would have all taken this. I mean, there are some apparently Sky Sports before the West Brom game were interviewing Ipswich fans in outside the stadium, and they couldn't find a single Ipswich fan that thought we would end up in the top two. Which I think I'm with them as well, to be honest. It is hard to believe that we would end up at the top. But we're there and we keep doing it. We can lose 2 games and still not drop to third. And then the gap is getting bigger and bigger between sixth place, which is the most important thing, to at least give you a shot. Because apart from Leicester and Leeds, really, and we play Leicester soon as well, actually, Boxing Day, Leicester Boxing Day, Norwich on the 16th. But... yeah, apart from Leicester and Leeds, there's not really any team that Ipswich fear in that division. at all. Although, obviously, we should fear West Brom because they stuffed us 2-0. So, you know, there you go. It's football and it's the craziest league in the world, really. I mean, Ipswich yesterday were cruising, really, in the first half. And then in the last minute of injury time, we concede a goal, which was an obvious foul. You know, the guy has just pushed our guy in the back onto the ball and it went in the net. It didn't matter because then the whistle went for full time and it's 3 points, you know. But if it came down to goal difference, then that could be a very vital goal. Anyway, well, I don't reckon people... I reckon most people are turned off by now.
Well, I've had it now. This can't really be described as tech, can it? And it probably doesn't help that it's patently obvious to anybody listening that I know very little about football. I'll watch the Euros next year. I think the opening match should be a bit of an entertainment, shouldn't it, really?
Is it Denmark, I think?
No, the opening match is Germany-Scotland.
Oh, sorry, no, I thought you meant England's opening match. Sorry. Germany, Scotland, yeah, that should be an interesting one. Don't forget the ladies on Tuesday. They've got to beat Scotland by about 4 goals to qualify for the Olympics. Yeah. The ladies did amazing the other night, and I was really annoyed that I missed it. I didn't even know it was on.
So yeah, because they pulled it back at the last minute, didn't they?
Truly not a true fan, am I?
Well, you know, and even I knew they pulled it back in the last minute. So
absolutely, yeah, very good, very good. Right, well, I think that'll do. I've got to ring my missus and do some tech support apparently for Asda, by the sound of it. So
yeah, right, okay.
I shall get on it, and then I shall go and unscrew some heating, and I'll probably have no heating for 3 days after I finish messing that up.
It certainly seems quite brave, but on the other hand, I can't...
Apparently this thing... I'll watch it on YouTube first, but apparently unscrewing this thing doesn't really do anything drastic. A bit of water comes out, apparently, and then...
It makes you feel any better. Probably not today, more likely tomorrow, but I plan on trying something I've never succeeded in doing before, which is changing a washer on a mixer tap. So we can have the same tales of woe next time we see each other, can't we?
We can share a plumber, maybe.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, well, probably least said, soon it's mended, hopefully.
Absolutely.
We'll go with that. All right, mate.
All right, are we good for 2 weeks? I can't remember.
When is 2 weeks?
It's the 17th.
17th, isn't it? I think so. Let me just check what I think.
It's the day after the Norwich Ipswich game, so it's going to be...
Yeah. We'll be fine for this.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
All right, mate.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye. Bye.